series. Our series is Straight Up. What Straight Up is about is dealing straight up with some serious questions that are in our society today. Straight up. Like last week, we dealt with the question, are same-sex relationships really the same? Straight up, out of the Word of God. And we dealt with that. Today, our question is why? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? So we're going to deal with that straight up. Why is this happening to me? Straight up. Let's look at it. Here's a straight up way of what we're really asking, and the questions that we're really posing is this, is if God is good all the time, then why does anything bad ever happen? Now, what we're really asking is, if God loves people, then why does God allow bad things to happen to them? What we're really asking is if God is all-powerful, like you say He is, then why is it that an all-powerful God lets bad things happen to people? Maybe He's not so all-powerful. Or maybe if He's all-powerful, He just chooses not to help me or to help the people that I love. That's what we're really asking. That's the straight-up question. So first what we need to do is think about this. See, when we ask that question, we're categorizing people. We're being prejudiced. We're putting people into two categories, good people and bad people. The good people being we, us, are Christians, right? We're good. And so nothing bad should ever happen to us, good people. And we're putting those old bad sinners as bad people, those people far from God. All the bad stuff should happen to them. That's the way we're thinking. And that's just not how Jesus approached it. And so let's look at what Jesus really had to say about that specific thought. One day Jesus was with his guys, and this guy, this blessed person, rich young ruler, comes running up to Jesus and says, "Good master, good master. What have I got to do to be saved?" And Jesus responds to him, and it's really out of context until you kind of get what I'm saying right here. Here's what Jesus said. I want to read it to you. Mark chapter 10, verse 18 says, "Why do you call me good?" Now, if you can't call Jesus good, who can you call good? "Why do you call me good?" Now, get this. Get it. You got to get this. Jesus answered him, "What? No one is good. No one is good except God alone." What's Jesus saying here? What Jesus is trying to communicate here is simply that don't categorize people. God made us all. Don't categorize people. Let's say it this way. See, we've all done bad things. Even the saints of God have done bad things. And if God were to say, today at 12 o'clock high noon Eastern Standard Time, we're going to annihilate everybody on the planet Earth that has ever done anything bad, how many of us would be here at 12:01? See, there are no one good. No one is good. And this is the thought. So we've got to be real cautious when we do that, because sometimes we're talking about people that we care about. We were at this is years and years ago. I had not gone into the ministry yet. We were living in Griffin at the time. At the time, my daughter was between the ages of 7. She says 7. I say 10. Somewhere in that area, 7 to 10. And we kind of got roped into enlisting her into a beauty pageant. And she went in this beauty pageant. And so here we were, and these little girls, 10 years old, 8, 9, 10, whatever they're, and they come out onto the field to be judged according to their beauty. And so right in front of us sit this other mom and grandmom of another girl that's in the beauty contest as well. And we know these people. They're good friends of ours, actually. And so we were sitting there, and as they come out onto there and they began to judge the girls, these two people actually turned and joined hands, faced each other, and began to pray. I mean, they were seriously praying. They were praying in tongues. I mean, they were serious about this. They were praying that their child win. And, you know, I couldn't help but think, well, what about my child? What about our child? She's good, too, you know. It wouldn't be right of God to judge, give them her child and not my child. What's up with that? You see, and sometimes we do that. We do ball games, let our team win. Well, what about the good people on the other team? You know, and so Jesus says, don't do that. They're none good. And by the way, my daughter won. Our daughter won. Not because she was gooder than their daughter, our granddaughter, but because she's the most beautiful girl in the world. Still is. Isn't that right, Jack? That's his mother. Yes, yes she is. So Jesus says, don't do that. Everybody's done some bad stuff. And there's an assumption, you see, that God protects by intervention bad things happening to good people. Now, that's just not good. That's wrong. That's bad religion. That's bad theology. That's bad. And what that, if you live there, will do to you, will cause you to lose faith. It'll pull your faith out of you because you'll feel like God just doesn't care about you. You're really not saved. And that's not it at all. We've all heard the horrible stories of the bad drunk guy who crashed into a carload of good people. The drunk guy walks away unscratched, unharmed, while the good people die. We've all heard that. Why didn't God intervene? Because that's not how it works. Well, we've heard the stories of the baby that died. Maybe some birth defect. The baby had done nothing wrong. See, we associate doing something wrong with bad things happening. Baby had done nothing wrong. Why did the baby die? Well, are the child smitten with a disease when it was very young? Why? Why is that? You see? Why didn't God intervene here? That's just not how it works. Or maybe the righteous, saintly mom who has cancer and dies. What about that? Why didn't God intervene? Because that's just not how it works. And we seem to think that way. We think that God should protect by intervention good people from bad things happening to them. That teaching and that thinking is bad religion. It's bad thinking. Bad things happened to the Apostle Paul. He was good. Bad things happened to the Apostle Peter. He was good. Bad things happened to Jesus. There was none better. In fact, that thinking is absolutely contrary to what the Scriptures teach. The opposite is truth. And I'll show you. Here's what Jesus says in John 16:33. I have told you all, in other words, every one of you, all of you, I have told you all of you, this so that you may have peace in me. What he's about to say, he's told us so that we can have peace in him. Here on earth, where? Here on earth, that's all of us, right? Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. That's the promise. That's the way God said. You're going to have. The promise is not that you won't. The promise is that you will. You will have many trials and sorrows. I can't protect you from that happening. But, take heart. Would you say that back to me? Take heart. Say that. Take heart. Take a hold of your heart. The King James Version says, be of good cheer. Take hold of yourself. Keep your heart right. Stay in peace. For I've overcome the world. And you see, this is what he tries to tell us. He is straight up here with this thing. He says, you're going to have some tough times, and I can't protect you from having tough times. But if you'll take hold of yourself and keep your heart right and stay in peace in me, you're going to be all right. I'm telling you this so that you can make it through it. Another assumption that we have is that God punishes people with bad things. And so when bad things happen, then we're thinking we're being punished for some reason. Again, that's bad, bad religion. That's Pharisaical teaching, and that's what the Pharisees taught, and they're still teaching it. That's not God. That's not God. That's bad religion. It would be very unfair of God to put bad things on people because they did something wrong. But the Bible never says that God is fair. God is just. And God is righteous. Actually, if we really think about it and just think, rationalize this thing out just with common sense, we'll realize that most bad things that happen to anybody, good or bad, are traceable. Most good things that happen to anybody, good or bad, are traceable. And my brother-in-law is a great example of this. Brother-in-law Jimmy. We would put him in the category of being a good person. He was a good friend. He was a good man. He loved his wife. He was a faithful husband. He was a good father. He was a good grandfather. He was a good provider, Jimmy. But Jimmy was diagnosed with lung cancer. And lung cancer began to rapidly take his life from him. Lung cancer. And Jimmy was good. I enjoyed being around Jimmy. We would go hunting, fishing together. We married sisters. We were together a lot. We never had a cross word. He was a good person. Judy went down to visit her sister, and of course Jimmy was there, and this was in his last times. And Jimmy asked Judy, said, why has God done this to me? Why is God punishing me with this? Judy was straight up with him. Judy said, Jimmy, God hasn't done this to you. You've done this to you. Jimmy, you have smoked cigarettes since you were 13 years old. For 50 years, Jimmy, you have smoked cigarettes. You knew the chances you were taking. God didn't do this. You did this. And you see, the last memory I have of seeing Jimmy alive is when he was standing there. We went to visit him, and he only had a few weeks left to live. And he was taking that deep drag with lung cancer, dying from lung cancer, only a few weeks to live, dragging off that cigarette. Wasn't God punishing Jimmy with lung cancer? Was Jimmy saved? Yes, Jimmy was saved. I prayed with him. Jimmy was water baptized. I baptized him. It wasn't that God was punishing him. God wasn't punishing Jimmy. Jimmy brought this on himself. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 tells us exactly this. This is what God warns us about. And he wants us to be smart about it. The verse begins with, do not be deceived. Don't lose this thought. Don't be tricked. Don't be deceived here. God cannot be mocked. See, we mock God. Well, if you're powerful enough, why don't you stop it? If you're God, if you're love, if you're really God who you say you are, why don't you fix this? Why don't you intervene? We mock God. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he, the man, sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, carnal nature, appetites of the flesh, from that nature will what? Reap destruction. You smoke cigarettes 50 years? There's some destruction that's coming. You know it. It's going to take a toll. You drink alcohol all the time? There's some destruction. Not saying that it's sin, quote unquote, but it will kill you. There is a destruction that happens when the carnal nature enjoys itself. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap life eternal. And this is my point. Honestly, most things that happen to good people or bad people are traceable. We can trace them back to something. It was not God judging Jimmy with cancer. Jimmy smoked cigarettes 50 years. It's not God judging you with financial difficulties. You got yourself in debt over your head. Finances maxed out. You can't even help somebody with some money. You can't help your children. You can't help people that need help. You can't even pay tithes and give to the kingdom of God, which should be your primary priority. Why? Because you've got yourself in debt. God isn't judging you with financial problems. He's not judging you with your marital problems. You may have married an idiot. He tried to tell you. He told people, tell him, tell her, don't do this. But you knew more than God. You knew more than those people. You knew more than mom and dad. So here you are. Or maybe there are some things you need to fix. But you're so stubborn, you won't fix it. It's not God judging you. Trace it back, fix it. Trace it back and fix it, and you'll see it turns around. So let's look at something else. See, there's extreme poverty and disease in some third world countries. I've got some firsthand experience with this. I've gone to Haiti several times, in Trinidad, those places, third world countries, and it is bad. You walk out into the areas and you see starvation, little pot-bellied children, and you know, starvation. And you look in the ditches and there's feces running down the street and water. You wouldn't put your hands in it, much less drink or bathe in it. It's horrible situations, living situations. No food to eat. But yet you get back towards the town and you get on this big four-lane nice highway, and out everywhere else is rough and bad. But here's this nice four-lane highways, and then you drive down and there's this palace of the dictator over here. Fenced in, beautiful green. He's not starving. He's got good water to drink. He's not poor. He's having a banquet. What's up with this? Is it God judging those people? Or is it an awful, evil dictator who's taken the money that should be going to the people for his own personal greed and power and using that for himself? It's not God judging them. We're going to look at a little bit more of how this comes out from within a person. It's not God, it's the person. Let's look at something else that causes traceable reasons. Bad things happen to good people. God created us all with deep urges and appetites. Lust, even. And if these things are not bridled, and these appetites unleashed, then they go unrestrained. And they are inflicted upon society. And Jesus says it this way, and these things work out into all kinds of stuff. They work out into homosexuality, rape, child molestation, extreme anger, violence, and murder. Here's what Jesus said, Mark 7:21. For from where? Within, out of a person's heart. It's from the person, it's not from God. From within the person, out of the person, into society, from their heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasures, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things. How many of them? All these vile things come from where? Within. Not from God. From within the evil person, the vile person. Our house has been burglarized 2 times. What's amazing here is it's been in 2 different cities. One in Griffin before I went into the ministry, but we were actively involved in ministry. Actually, we were at a children's crusade, having it at the church. We were involved in it. And we were having all these children come and get saved and rejoice in Jesus and all of this stuff. It was just a great time. We had an amazing, fantastic service that particular night. And we were home. We were happy. We were rejoicing. And we go home. We walk into our home. And our home has been burglarized. I mean, it was ransacked. There was not one drawer that was where it was supposed to be. It was all dumped on the floor. All my guns and rifles and shotguns and pistols and everything were taken. It was all her jewelry was gone. Anything of any value was taken from us. We had been at church. Getting people saved. The other time was a couple of years ago. Had a great service right here on Sunday morning. We had a great service. Preached the Word of God. Got people saved, healed, filled, and all the stuff that happens. And we go home, and our house has been burglarized. Is God judging me? Or was it some vile person that from within, out of him or her or them, came this stuff upon me, upon society? I wasn't the only person they robbed. There was others as well. It was inflicted upon. It wasn't God. It was from the person. That's what Jesus said. The drunk that crashed into the carload of good people and got up and walked away while the good people died. It's from within, an unbridled, restraining alcoholism or need to drink. From within them came that. That's why that happened. It wasn't God. Let's look at one more reachable or retraceable reason as to why bad things happen. You know, there are geological forces on this planet. It's a part of the planet. It's the way it's created. And the crust of the earth has weak spots, and they're faults. And you know that eventually in these faults there's going to be what we call an earthquake. And everything for miles and miles around is going to be crumbled because it's going to be shaken so bad. We know that if it's smoking and active, that one day this thing's going to boil and it's going to erupt. And it's going to spew its lava and its heat and its rocks and stuff all over everything for hundreds of miles. We know that. We know that atmospheric pressures collide, causing all kinds of tornadoes and you know, all kinds of hurricanes and stuff. We know that. This is how it works. And on December the 26, 2004, the largest earthquake ever recorded on the Richter scale, 9.3, took place in the Indian Ocean. It created a tsunami, a tidal wave that ran growing bigger and bigger all the way to India. And it crashed into India, killing over 200,000 people. Was that God judging them? I studied it a little bit. I read an article from The Globe, and I want to show you this. This is from a Muslim young boy in Indonesia. I want you to show you what he says. Put it up there for me, please. We're Muslim. We believe God did this because God is testing us. We don't understand God's reasons, but we trust in God. That's the way a lot of Christians think. That's bad religion, people. That's bad, bad religion. Was it the tsunami, the earthquake? Or was it God judging them through the tsunami and the earthquake? Or what, did the earthquake just create a tsunami that crashed into them? On August the 29th, 2005, a Category 5 hurricane named Katrina came inland into Louisiana, close to New Orleans. It had 160 miles per hour winds plus flooding rains. New Orleans had a bad levee already, and they knew it was bad. And that levee breached. Because of the levee breaching, not because of the hurricane, 1,325 people died. A lot of people said, Christian people, God's judging New Orleans. So vilely. Well, if that is so, then what about the Christians that lived in New Orleans? Well, what about the righteous people that were there? God told Abraham, if there's 10, I won't touch them. Not God. So where was God in the tsunami? Where was God in Katrina? Was God in the wind, the hurricane, and the floods, of the tidal wave? Was he there in the breached levee that killed those people? Was that where God was? Or was God in the billions and billions of people who reached out to help those people? Financial support, going to rebuild, going to help, praying for them. Where was God? Was God condemning and judging, or was God saving? See, think about this, if God is in the judging of that, then we can never give again to somebody in trouble. You cannot help. If that's the way God is, you can't help those people in trouble because you're going against the hand of God. Jesus, totally contrary to that, says, give. Give your alms in secret and I'll bless you openly. Give. Help people. Wasn't God? So where was God? One more thought on the Katrina thing before I leave it that I think is the main reason that bad things happen to good people is that those 1,325 people did not have to die. See, 5 days prior to Katrina's coming inland, meteorologists said, this is a class 5 hurricane. Evacuate. Get out of Dodge. Leave. Leave now. Find some way, but don't be here. You know you got a bad levee breach. You know all this is happening. You got this flood coming. You got this wind coming. You can't handle this. Get out. But they made a decision to stay. So here we go. The most cause for bad things happening to good people is because good people make bad decisions. Let me say it again. The main reason bad things happen to good people is because good people make bad decisions. Not because God is judging them. There's a saying. I mean, is it God or is it stupid to stay there? And you just can't fix? Stupid. Why live close to a volcano when you know it's going to erupt? That's a bad decision. Why build your whole life on a ground fault, a fault where you know there's going to one day be? Why build a house there? Why raise your family there? Why have your whole life invested there where you know one day there's going to be an earthquake here? Why live on the coast if you refuse to evacuate? You know that one day there's going to be a hurricane. Why stay in New Orleans when you know there's a Category 5 hurricane coming? Bad decisions. Now, if we're honest, when bad things happen to good people, whether it's personal situations or from a what we call a natural disaster, it can nearly always be traced back. It's traceable. But notice how I said it, nearly always. There are times when you just can't figure it out. There are times. So let's put it in some kind of a perspective. Let's say that 90 to 95% of the times there's traceable reasons as to why bad things happen to anybody. 90, 95% of the time. So what about the other 5 or 10%? When there is just no answer. You can't find anything anyone's done wrong. It's blameless. There's nothing, nobody to fault, nothing to fault. No bad decisions made. Nothing coming out of the from within. There's just nearly no reason for this. What about that? Well, the scriptures have many examples for us, but there is one classic, and it's the one I always revert back to when I'm going through something that I can't explain. And I want to share this with you, and I think it'll give you some insight to this. It's in Job, the book of Job. I'm going to read it. First chapter says, first verse says this. In the land of Uz, not Oz, but the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. And this man was what? What's God trying to say to us here? What's about to happen to Job was not his fault. You can't trace anything back to Job. There's no reason this happened to Job. Job didn't do anything to cause this. He's blameless. Not only is he blameless, he's upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. This is a good man. He's a good husband. He's a good father. He's a good provider. He's a good man. He's blessed. He works hard. But one day on, this good man comes running up, one of his servants, and says, Job, Job, something awful has happened. I'll read it to you, Job 1:16. While he was, I don't have that one. He comes running up and he says, some enemies have come and they have killed some of your servants and what's happened is that they've taken some of your wealth. Now that's exactly what Jesus told us in Matthew 7:21, right? Out of the hearts of some people, out of them come from within, out of them comes something into society. That's what Jesus said. So we understand that a little bit. And then 1:16, it says this, while this guy was still telling Job that stuff, 1:16 says, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said. What he told him was a fire had come. It's out of nowhere. A fire had come and had burned up, killed more of his servants, and taken more of his wealth. That's what Jesus said in John 16:33, that you can be sure there's going to be some bad times and some sorrows that are going to happen to you. But grab a hold of your heart. Take care here. So, now, how many of you ever experienced something like this? You know, you got one bad thing already happening and you're trying to figure it out. And while this bad thing is still happening, something else is happening. And you kind of have this tendency to say, what else can happen? Don't do that. Because there's always something else that can happen. Job 1:17. Job's got two guys telling him all this bad stuff. 1:17 is while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, more enemies had attacked, taken, killed more of Job's servants, and taken more of Job's wealth. Job 1:18. While he was still speaking. Now Job's got three people telling him the stuff. Now here comes number four. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, and he tells him it's a tornado came. A geological thing. Disaster like we had just talked about. A tornado came and killed all of his children. They were all gathered together in one place having a little party. A tornado came and killed all of his children. Job's devastated. But here's what Job said, Job 1:21, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave. You sang that earlier. You sang it well. Do you live it well? The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, it's easier to sing. Wow. But you know what? If you read the story, it really was that the Lord who took it away. If you're familiar with the story, it was Satan. under a leash, but nonetheless, Satan. Never say what else can go wrong. Because chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head." Satan had attacked Job physically. Satan had attacked Job in his family. Satan had attacked Job financially. There's no traceable reasons as to why any of this is happening. So when you have no traceable reason, you can't trace it back. There is no real reason here. Realize Satan is on you. Realize, have faith, he's under a leash if you're a child of God. He can only do so much, but it's Satan. And you can't stop it. You're going to have to run out the book. Job spent the rest of the book of Job, and it's a big book, it's 42 chapters. 40 chapters of that book of Job, Job is asking this one question. Why? Why me? Why is this happening to me? And those that were familiar with Job and his situation were telling him, Job, you've got to have sin in your life. You've done something wrong. God is judging you. Was he?
No.
No. Wasn't God? Satan. But what was God doing? Why was God allowed? Why? Why? Job asked. In my understanding of what went on here with Job is God was doing two things. One, he was using Job. Two, he was changing Job. And when you're going through these times, these 5 or 10% of times, or when you know somebody that's going through these 5 or 10% of times where there is no traceable reason, realize, first of all, it's Satan. I'm not really going to be able to stop it, but God is taking this, he's using it, and he's changing someone through it. We confuse that. We confuse what God using and changing it with why bad things are happening to good people. An example of that may be the military forces. When a person enlists in the military forces, they enlist to be changed and to be used. When we come to God, it's even given an example that we're in the army of God. We're going to be changed so that we can be used. It's a part of it. God's going to change you, and God's going to use you, like it or not. You really don't have a vote here. It's how it works. And God uses us, and God changes us, but if we can do what Jesus told us to do, keep our hearts right, hold on to our hearts, and keep in peace, and stay, and not let it rob us of our faith, and take faith out of us, and start mocking God, then we're going to come out of this thing really well. We can come out twice better than we went in. This is the part we lose. And this is what happened to Job. Job was blessed beyond his wildest expectations. Let me read this to you. Job chapter 42. It's from verses 10 through 17. It says, after Job had prayed for all of his friends, the Lord, obviously that was one of the ways he needed to change Job. Job needed to bless his friends and not talk about them. The Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. After this, now after all this happened, Job lived 140 years longer. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. You know, if we think we see our great-grandchildren, we've done really well. But Job saw all of these children. And so he died old and full of years. So why do bad things happen to blameless people where there is no traceable reason? Why does that happen? God is changing. And God is using. You see, I gain strength every time I'm going through something that I don't understand. I'm gaining strength because of what Job went through. Because of what Job had to go through, I get some strength to go through it too because I want God to use me. And I want God to change me. And God knows how to do it. Realize that it's an attack of Satan. Realize that. And through no fault of your own or those their own, God's still overseeing the whole thing. And Satan is on a leash and can only do so much. And if you'll keep your heart right, God's going to take that bad thing and He's going to make it good. Bible says this, Romans 8:28, and we know that, you sang this, all things work together for my good. Come on! We know all things
work together for my good.
All right! We know all things work together for my good. There you go! So we sing it, but it's so much easier to sing it on Sunday than to live it on Thursday when you are having a boulder in your kidney. Where? Why me, God? What about those guys out there? I'm a preacher. I'm going to minister to people on Sunday. I can't hurt. Oh, yeah, you can. Watch. See, here's the promise. The promise is, He has a purpose. Let me read the scripture to you. Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to what? You're called according to what? Not your purpose. His purpose. His purpose comes before your purpose, like it or not. Hello? And when you get that right, your purpose will happen. When you first do His purpose, God will take that bad thing and turn it completely around, and you'll be blessed out of your socks. Sometimes when bad things happen, though, even to those that love God the most, you question God. You feel forsaken. I've done it all right. I've served you. I've loved you. Where are you? Where are you? Ever felt like that? Jesus felt like that. Jesus is going through the worst time of His whole life. Bad time. Been arrested, falsely accused, goofy court, taken, beaten, scourged, nailed to a cross, hanging there. The only time He ever questioned God is in the middle of this bad time. Nobody loved Father more than God. Nobody loved Father more than Jesus. Let me read it to you. Mark 15:34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. He wasn't keeping this to Himself. There was a bunch of people around Him. Elo, Elo, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Me. I mean, I'm Jesus. Had God forsaken Jesus? What was God doing then? Was God using Jesus? What was He using Him for? Come on. For you, for me, for humanity, for every person who's ever lived. Was God not only using Jesus, but was He changing Jesus? He was changing Jesus to be glorified. In 3 days, God would raise Him from the dead, change Him totally, lift Him up, seated at the right hand of God. See, in 3 days, short period of time, meaning God will move for you. It seems like forever, but God will move. And you'll come out of that thing twice better than you went in. It's a promise. All things work together for your good. I want to end with this one last reason as to why bad things happen to good people. It's simply this. It's to save them. Save them. You know, we don't think of the flood as being a bad time for Noah. But think about it. It was a bad time. All of his relatives, people he loved, lost, saved, whatever, they died in this flood. His relatives, people he cared about, died, killed in the flood. His whole life savings, gone. His house, gone. His life's work, gone. His camel, gone. Everything. Or maybe it was one that got on the ark. I don't know. Everything gone. He had to relocate. He had to rebuild from nothing. Totally rebuild his life. But from that flood, that bad time, Noah was saved, and so was his family. I told you earlier about my brother-in-law, Jimmy. You see, when this bad time began to happen to Jimmy, Jimmy was not saved. God was not on his radar. But when this bad time happened to Jimmy, Jimmy began to ask questions about God, began to talk to me and others about God. And in the process of this bad time, I got to pray with Jimmy, bring him to the Lord. I got to baptize Jimmy. I got to serve communion to him and to his wife. They received it together along with me. We had communion together. Jimmy got saved. You see, it was in that bad time this good person got saved. I know today that Jimmy's not in hell. Most likely because of a bad time. Because of a bad time, his flood, Jimmy now is in heaven, rejoicing with Jesus, being an example for you, for me. I know all things work together for good. I know that God is changing, God is using, and God is saving. So when you see bad things happening, know God's doing this, and you can't explain them. So why do bad things happen to good people? First of all, we've got to get out of the idea of good and bad. Jesus says none are good. We've all done bad things. Beyond that, Jesus says, if you're on this earth, there are some bad things that are going to happen. But hold on to your heart. Take hold of it. Because it's by doing that, you'll stay in peace in me, and you're going to come out of it, okay? Hold on to your heart. Hold on. And then he says this, that some things happen because from within, out of people, comes some stuff that's going to happen. Realize this is going on. Realize there are geological situations. There's going to be floods. There's going to be tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes. And realize this stuff. But there are going to be some things that you cannot trace. There's going to be some things you just don't understand. You're blameless. They're blameless. The person's blameless. But in those particular times, you've got to trust God. You've got to know that it's Satan. But realize that Satan's on a leash. And Satan can only do so much. And realize you can't stop it. But you can hold on to your heart. And you can keep your peace. And you can go through it. And if you will, then it's going to work together for your good. And you or them are going to come out twice better than you went into it. God is going to bless you beyond your greatest expectations. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I ask you, Lord God, as we close this time now, that you've ministered to hearts and to people, that you've touched lives. I ask you, Lord, that we realize that, as was Job, we can't figure it all out. We weren't there when you hung the moon and the stars. We weren't there when you told the oceans how far they could come. We don't have your mind. We should have, but we don't. So, Father, I ask you to give us insights and mercy. I ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to challenge you with this particular thought. Some of you are going through stuff right now. You can't understand it. Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? I don't get it. And what it's done is it's pulled on your faith. It's pulled on you. And it's tested your faith. And it's tried to pull you away from God. It's tried to pull you away from church. It's tried to pull you away from doing what you know is right. And it's a struggle for you. Today you've gotten some insight. And you would be brave enough to say, you know what? I see myself here. It does work on me. It does challenge me. It does pull me down. But at the same time, you say, but I love God, and I want God to be king in me. I want Him to have my life, and I want to trust Him totally. So that's you. You're just going through some tough times now. You've gone through some tough times, and it's really worked on you. And you're saying, I want to love God. I want to be able to hold on to my heart. I want to be able to trust the Lord totally with my life. And I want to be what I'm supposed to be in God. If that's you, would you just right where you're sitting, just raise your hand. Let me pray for you right where you're sitting. Oh, my gosh. Yes, Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. This has been a timely word, obviously. So, Father, I pray now for each one of these that have lifted their hands. That, Lord, they've gotten some insight today. That, Lord, we'll remember. Hold on to our heart. Take hold. Be of good cheer. Keep our peace. Stay in Christ. And if we will, we're going to go through these times. So, Father, I bless them now with courage and wisdom that they'll be able to handle these things. Heads still bowed and eyes still closed. Others of you, you know you're not where you need to be with God. Yes, just plain and simple. And what you have done is you've used this thing. Well, why do bad things happen to good people if God is so good? You've actually used that as an excuse as to not serve God and not get where you need to be. You're mocking God. Don't do that. At the same time, you're saying, I know I need to make some changes in my life. I need to come to Jesus Christ. I need to take hold of my heart and present it to Him. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. You know you're not where you need to be with God. Take hold of your heart and give it to Christ. Let Him be king in you. If you will, you'll go through any bad time in peace. If you keep your heart right, you're going to come out of that thing better than you ever thought you'd have. A life. So if that's you, you just know you're not where you need to be with God. You want to fix that right now, today. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing I just asked those others to do. Ask, raise your hand right where you're sitting. I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. So if that's you, would you do that for me right now? Raise your hand right where you're sitting and let me pray for you. I see your hand right there. Any others? Any others? Any others? I see your hand. Good. Father, you see these hands. Lord, I